Welcome to Torati Machanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we're going to do a summary of Melachim Beis. I would divide this review into three sections. The first eight chapters, Prakim Aleph Teches, I would call the 16 miracles of Elisha. The chapters 9 to 17 is the dynasty of Yehu, the continuity of Malchus Beis David, and the leading to the exile of the 10 tribes. And chapters 18 to 25, Yud Ches to Chaf Hei, the final years of Malchus Beis David, leading to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. So let's begin. Chapter 1. Perek Aleph transitions us from Melachim Aleph to Melachim Beis. We see Eliyahu as the active Navi. We meet Ahaziah, the son of Ahav, who was killed at the end of Melachim Aleph by Aram in the war in Ramos Gilad. Ahaziah follows the idolatrous path of his father. He falls through the lattice in his attic, falls ill, and sends messengers to the Baal Zavuv, the pagan god of Ekron. Eliyahu is sent to stop those messengers and send a message to Ahaziah that since he turned to idols, he will die. Ahaziah sends a series of three generals and armies to bring Eliyahu to him. The first two order Eliyahu to come, speaking extremely disrespectfully, and are killed by fire. The third speaks deferentially. Eliyahu descends and gives his message directly to Ahaziah, and at the end of Perek Aleph, Ahaziah dies, leaving no son, and so his brother Yehoram takes over. Chapter 2 is the story of Eliyahu leaving this world, and Elisha as the new Navi. It is also the beginning of the miracles of Elisha. We have a tradition that Elisha performed 16 miracles, double of Eliyahu's 8, and we will use the list of Abar Benel to organize them. Eliyahu and Elisha passed through 4 locations, Gilgal, Basel, Yericho, and Yarden. In each, they meet B'nai Nevi'im, who ask Elisha if he is aware that Eliyahu will be taken. He is. Be quiet. Eliyahu splits the Yarden. Elisha asks him to grant him pi shnayim, perhaps double. Eliyahu is carried up in a fiery horse and chariot, and Elisha cries out, Avi, Avi, Rechav Yisrael u'farashav, my father, the chariot of Israel and its riders. And the miracles of Elisha begin. Number 1, he splits the Yarden. Number 2, he heals the waters of Yericho. And 3, he sets bears on those evil people of Betel. Chapter 3, Perek Gimel. Yehoram, the new king of Yisrael, wages war against Moab, who had stopped paying taxes after the death of Ahav. He asks Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, to join him, who in turn gets Edom to join as well. The three kings and armies wandering in the desert of Edom run out of water. They turn to Elisha, who performs miracle number 4. After rebuking the king of Yisrael and having some music played, he tells them to dig pits, and that by the next day, they will fill with water. The Moabi army saw the water in the desert, thought it was blood. They assumed the different armies had fought and killed each other, and so came very unprepared to this war. And there was a miraculous victory. Chapter 4 tells the story of miracles 5 to 9. First, the miracle of the oil. The widow of a Navi, maybe Ovadia, asks Elisha for help. Her husband had borrowed money, and now the creditor, maybe Yehoram, is threatening to take her two sons as slaves. After hearing that she has one jar of oil, Elisha tells her to borrow dishes from her neighbors, and the oil miraculously fills all those dishes. Isha Shunamis, Miracle 6. She was a generous but barren woman who hosted Elisha, even building him his own room. Wanting to repay her kindness, he promised her a son, and it came true. But when he was just a child, he fell ill and died. She ran to Elisha, who in Miracle 7 performed Techias HaMesem, reviving the boy and bringing him back to life. Miracle 8. The B'nai Nevi'im were starving in Gilgal due to famine. Elisha instructed them to make a stew with wild herbs, but someone mistakenly put in a poisonous gourd. Elisha added flour and it healed the stew as well as those who had eaten. And in miracle number 9, he took a gift of 20 loaves and fed maybe 2,200 B'nai Nevi'im. Chapter 5. This is the story of Naaman, an Arami general who had tzara'as. He comes to Elisha for help, and Elisha sends him to the Yarden to immerse 7 times. He is healed in miracle 10. And is inspired and vows never to serve pagan gods again. He tries to give Elisha gifts, but Elisha refuses. Elisha's right-hand man, Gehazi, wanting the money for himself, pretends to be sent by Elisha and saying, in fact, the gifts would be helpful for some lads who had just arrived. Of course, Elisha finds out what he did, and in Miracle 11, Gehazi and his sons get tzara'as. Chapter 6 begins with four miracles. Miracle number 12. Elisha causes an iron axe that had fallen into the Yarden to float so that it could be recovered by the Ben-Navi who had borrowed it and wanted to return it. Miracle number 13. The king of Aram tries to ambush Yisrael, but Elisha tells the king of Yisrael the secret location every single time. Miracle 14. The king of Aram tries to capture Elisha in Dothan, surrounding the city with his army. Elisha is not afraid since he sees the fiery horses and chariots of angels that are protecting him. And he asks Hashem to open the eyes of his frightened lad, who was also able to see the angels. Miracle 15. He blinds the Arami soldiers who are coming to capture him and leads them straight to Yehoram. But Perek Vav, chapter 6, is also the story of the terrible famine and siege, inflation, starvation, and finally cannibalism. And it ends with Yehoram threatening to kill Elisha. Perek Zion, chapter 7. Elisha tells Yehoram that the food prices will drastically fall the next day. A general mocks the miracle and Elisha tells him that he will see it, but not eat from it. The story continues with lepers finding food in the deserted camp of Aram, who Hashem had frightened away with the sounds of an imaginary army. And so, the famine was over, the food prices fell, the general was trampled and did not eat. And that concludes, according to Abar Benel, the 16 miracles of Elisha. Perek Ches, chapter 8, tells the story first of Yehoram, the king of Yisrael, asking Gehazi to tell him stories of the miracles of Elisha. And then the Isha Shunamis herself, who happened to be there, told the story of the revival of her son. It continues to talk about Elisha meeting Hazael in Aram and telling him that he will be the new king. It's also the story of the new king Yehoram of Yehuda and the Edomi rebellion he did not manage to quell. Yehoram was not like his father Yehoshaphat. He was married to Ataliah, the daughter of Ahav, and was very influenced by his wife's evil family. He ruled for 8 years, and his son Ahaziah took over. The Perek ends with a war in Ramot Gilead between Yisrael and Aram, where Yehoram, the king of Yisrael, is injured and goes to Yisrael to convalesce. His nephew, the new king of Yehuda, Ahaziah, comes to visit. We now begin the second section of the Sefer, the dynasty of Yehu, the final years of Malchus Yisrael, and this will take us to chapter 17. Perek Tes, chapter 9. Elisha sends a Navi to anoint Yehu, who will stage a rebellion against the injured king of Yisrael. The Navi tells Yehu, a general who is in Ramot Gilead, that his mandate is to wipe out the family of Ahav, to bring the nation of Yisrael back to Hashem. He begins to do just that, killing Yehoram, the king of Yisrael, and his nephew Ahaziah, the king of Yehuda. Yehu is inspired when he realizes that he actually was instrumental in bringing about the justice Hashem had promised years ago, right here in Israel. The chapter ends with the killing of Izebel. Chapter 10, Yehu does indeed wipe out the family of Ahav and wages battle on the idol Baal. However, he continues to keep the calves of Yeravam ben Nevat. Hashem promises him 4 generations of kings on the throne. Chapter 11, we hear about the tragedy that befell the family of Ahaziah. Ahaziah's evil mother, Ataliah, hearing about her son's death, murdered all of her grandchildren so that she could take the throne. Yehosheva, Ahaziah's sister, saved one baby, her nephew Yehoash, and with the help of Yehoyada Kohen Gadol, hid him in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years. When little Yoash was 7 years old, the Kohanim openly crowned him king. Ataliah was killed, and there was a renewed commitment and connection to Hashem and the Torah. Perek Yud Beis, chapter 12, we learn about a Beis HaMikdash renovating initiative by this king Yoash and the Kohanim, but it ends with attacks from Hazael, Yoash's own servants assassinating him and crowning his son Amatiah king. Chapter 13, we return to the Yisrael kingdom. We meet Yehu's son and grandson, Yehoahaz, who was almost totally vanquished by Aram, and his son Yoash, who managed to push them back a little. This is also the story of our last two encounters with Elisha the Navi, one right before his death and one after. First, with Elisha's guidance, King Joash shot arrows, symbolically showing that he would win against Aram three times. And then, after the burial of Elisha, the miraculous story of the corpse that fell into Elisha's grave and lived again. Chapter 14 continues the story of this dynasty of Jehu. We already met Jehu's son Jehoahaz, his grandson Joash, and then his great-grandson Yeravam. And the Yehuda king after Joash was assassinated is Amatiah. Both Amatiah, the king of Yehuda, and Joash, the king of Israel, are militarily successful. Amatiah, the king of Yehuda, challenges the king of Israel to a fight. It becomes a civil war. Then Amatiah, the king of Yehuda, loses terribly. Many, many people die. Amatiah, like his father Joash, is assassinated, and his son Azariah or Uzziah takes over. Meanwhile, Joash, the king of Israel, has died, and his son Yeravam takes over. Both kingdoms seem to thrive politically at this time. Chapter 15 tells the story of the Tzora'as of Uzziah, Azariah, and how his son Yosam takes over with humility and goodness, still serving his father while running the kingdom of Yehuda. And on the Yisrael side, we meet the fourth descendant of Jehu, Zechariah. By now, the promise has been fulfilled. Four descendants of Jehu have sat on the throne. Zechariah is assassinated by Shalom ben Yavish, who is himself assassinated by Menachem ben Gadi, who is a cruel leader. Menachem ben Gadi rules, followed by his son Pekahiah, who is himself assassinated by Pekah ben Remaliah, who was most famous for the first stage of exile of the 10 tribes beginning under his rule. Chapter 16 tells about the rule of Ahaz, the evil son of the tzaddik Yosam. He so tragically brings back idolatry, even placing an altar for Avodah Zarah next to the Mizbeach in the Beis HaMikdash. He had military and political challenges, both from the northern kingdom and from Aram, and he turns to Ashur for help. Chapter 17. Finally, the terrible exile for the northern kingdom. The 10 tribes are all taken by Ashur and dispersed. This chapter tells the sorrowful story of how we got to this awful place, how many prophets and warnings Hashem had sent, how many times he tried to pull his children back from the abyss, how many times they just refused to return to be the nation of Hashem. This chapter also tells the story of the people from other nationalities that the king of Ashur settled into Shomron and the lions that attacked them, and how they needed to be tutored about the service of Hashem, and that once they learned that ultimately Hashem is in charge of the world, the lions left them alone, even though they persisted in idol worship as well. And now we reach the final 8 chapters, which include the shining lights of Chizkiyahu and Yoshiyahu, but ultimately lead to the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash and our exile from the land. Chapter 18, Perek Yirches. We meet Chizkiyahu, the son of the evil Ahaz, and he will fix many of the problems caused by his father. He is known most for his utter reliance on Hashem, but also for his Torah study and propagation, war against idolatry, and for being a huge tzaddik. And we will see how successful he was. Even as Malchus Yisrael was exiled, he and his kingdom remain safe and secure. But later in the chapter, we see a threat from Ashur in the form of Rabshakeh, who teased and blasphemed and threatened to wipe out Yerushalayim. His intent was to demoralize Chizkiyahu, his army, and mostly the people. Chapter 19, Chizkiyahu davens, sends messages to Yeshayahu the Navi, and is reassured that Ashur will not be able to harm them. In fact, they will leave. They do leave, but send behind more messages of destruction. Chizkiyahu takes those letters and reads them in the Beis HaMikdash, davening and begging and crying to Hashem for help. Once again, reassured by Yeshayahu, and then the Assyrian army comes back to invade Yerushalayim, which I must add, there has just in June 2024 been found amazing archaeological evidence of this battle. And we find out in this parak about the amazing miracle. An angel attacks the entire army of Ashur and they are dead by morning. Yerushalayim is once again saved. Chapter 20, Perek Chaf, Chizkiyahu is deathly ill, davens, and is saved. He is given a choice of a miraculous sign. The sun's aisle will turn 10 degrees ahead or behind, and he chooses to turn time back. The Babylonian king sends emissaries to honor Chizkiyahu and pays tribute to his recovery. Chizkiyahu makes the catastrophic mistake of letting them in to the Beis HaMikdash, showing them its treasures, and he is informed by Yeshayahu that this very nation will take those treasures and his children into exile. Chapter 21, Menashe. The son of Chizkiyahu rules and tramples on everything that Chizkiyahu achieved. He reinstitutes idol worship, and there is widespread idolatry and murder all across Yerushalayim. The crimes of King Menashe are consistently attributed as the reason for the ultimate punishment and exile we will experience. His son Amon continues in his villainous and destructive path and is assassinated. His young and righteous son, Yoshiyahu, becomes the next king, and once again we have hope. Just a reminder that we really have gone up and down with Yehuda kings the last many generations. With Yosam HaTzadik and Ahaz HaRasha, Chizkiyahu HaTzadik, Menashe and Amon evil, and now the Tzadik Yoshiyahu. Chapter 22. Yoshiyahu commands a major Beis HaMikdash renovation after all the neglect and real damage done by his father and grandfather. The Kohen Gadol Chilkiah found a Torah scroll, maybe the original Torah scroll written by Moshe Rabbeinu. It was rolled to the Tochacha, the frightening warnings of destruction that would come if we don't listen to Hashem. Yoshiyahu took this as a very frightening sign from Hashem and confirmed those fears with Huldah the Neviah, the prophetess. Hashem was angry at the Jewish people, and Yerushalayim will be hit, and the Jewish people will be exiled. Chapter 23. Yoshiyahu tries desperately to avert disaster. He makes a huge campaign against idol worship, brings the Jewish people together to celebrate Pesach properly, teaches Torah, even tackles those calves in Betel that have caused so much damage, and fulfills the early prophecy back in Malachim Aleph that Yoshiyahu would burn the bones of those prophets of those calves. He does everything to try to bring them back, but is ultimately unsuccessful. He is killed in battle. His sons, first Jehoahaz and then Jehoiakim, were made king, but more like puppet kings with no real power, and they do not even try to do teshuvah. Chapter 24, the terrible exile that is known by the name Galut HaChiresh VaHamasker, or Galut Yechaniah. The king Yechaniah, or Jehoiachin, is exiled, and he is exiled together with all the leaders, the aristocracy, all the big people. Only the poor and downtrodden are left in Yerushalayim. And Babylonia puts Tzidkiyahu, another son of Yoshiyahu, so Jehoiachin's uncle, as the new king. And chapter 25, the destruction of our Beis HaMikdash. It is told in stages. First the siege on the 10th of Teves, and then a year and a half later, the city is conquered. And finally, in the month of Av, our Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. So many are murdered, and almost everyone else is exiled to Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar leaves behind some under Gedaliah ben Achikam, who tells the Jews, as long as we don't rebel against Babel, we will be able to stay in Yerushalayim, in Eretz Yisrael, peacefully. But a man, Yishmael ben Netanya, kills Gedaliah, and the Jews were petrified that this would be seen as a rebellion, and they fled to Egypt. And the final remnants of the Jewish people were now completely emptied from our land. But Sefer Malachim ends with a note of hope. The king Yechaniah, who had been languishing in the dungeons of Babel, was suddenly taken out and fed and clothed by none other than the new king of Babel, Evil Merodach, the son of Nebuchadnezzar, and he was supported and taken care of by him. He will have a grandson, Zerubbabel, who carries the Davidic line, and he, Zerubbabel, will spearhead the return to Yerushalayim and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. And so we conclude this book, written perhaps with tears, by Yirmiyahu the prophet. This book telling the story of how it all fell apart, how the nation of Hashem that was to live in the land of Hashem for all of eternity were torn away from their home and land, not by powerful armies, they were not strong enough to fight, but by powerful drives and character flaws, we were not strong enough to fight. Drives for idolatry, but also greed, cruelty, lust for power and grandeur. It tells of all the attempts to bring them back to Hashem. Attempts by Eliyahu, by Elisha, by Yehoshaphat, Yosam, Chizkiyahu, and the beloved and tragic Yoshiyahu. And how ultimately these drives proved the victors, and every growth initiative proved unsustainable. And first the kingdom of Yisrael, the 10 tribes, were exiled by Ashur. And finally the last remaining two Shvatim, Yehuda and Binyamin, were taken as well. And our Beis HaMikdash was up in flames and burned to the ground. And yet, if this is the message, then Yirmiyahu is also crying out to us. If you know how you lost it, then you also know how you can rebuild it. The power is in your hands. Let your hearts return to Hashem, and He will return to you. Come home to Him, and He will bring you home to Yerushalayim. May we heed the call. May we find within ourselves the strength we need to return to each other with love, to return to Hashem with love, and to finally and completely and for all of eternity come home to Yerushalayim. Let it be true for us this year. L'shana haba'a b'Yerushalayim habnuya. Thank you for studying together Li'iloi Nishmot Imahotenu Hayikarot, Esther Oppenheimer Aleha HaShalom, and Sarah Schenker Aleha HaShalom, each deeply devoted and proud to transmit their family's Torah legacy to the next generations.